So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text Number 10. Avyakta Lingo Vyaktartho Manishya Mata Balavat Kavir Mukhavat Atmanam Nadrishtya Darshayan Rinam. Avyakta Linga, whose symptoms of sannyas are unmanifested. Yakta Artha, whose purpose is manifested. Manishi, such a great saintly person. Unmata, restless. Balavat, like a boy. Kavibi, or Kavi, a great poet or orator. Mukhavat, like a dumb man. Atmanam, himself. Saha, he. Drishtya, by example. Darshayat, should present. Narinam, to human society. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although a saintly person may not expose himself to the vision of human society, by his behavior his purpose is disclosed. To human society he should present himself like a restless child, and although he is the greatest thoughtful orator, he should present himself like a dumb man. Prabhupada. A great personality, very much advanced in Krishna consciousness, may not expose himself by the signs of a sannyasi. To cover himself, he may live like a restless child or a dumb person, although he is the greatest orator or poet. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskadyade Satarne. And then Srimad Bhagavatam Prahlad Maharaj says, Evam Prasam Priyayukte, Evam Prasam Priyayukte, Bhakta Yatsi. Begins with Naisham. Priti Yavan. Evam priyasya yuktavye. Anyhow, I'll give you the translation. It's in the, can you look that up, Ananda? It's after Nunam Pramakta Kurute Vikarma. It's the second verse after that. Evam priyukta something. And it goes about upadiyamane near something nimuchadei deha yogena tadvat. Is it in there? It's after, do they have nunam pramata kurute vikarma it indriya pritya aprinoti nisara manye yata atmano yam asan api kleshida ashideha. And then it's aura. It's after. They must have that verse. It's, it's not in there? Ananta, is that verse in there? Do they have an index?
What's the first verse again?
Nunam. Pramatak. Kurute vikarma. Evam prasam yukta. And then it goes. What's that? Yeah. They have that there. Maybe it's Prabhava Stavada Bhavada Jato Yavana Jignasita Atmatat. Then it's the one after that is Evam Prasam Yukta Vigiyamane. Evam prasam yukta, evam prasam yukta, nunam prama takkurute indri karma.
5, 5, 6, 6.
Well, the Bhagavad Gita doesn't, you have to look at nunam. Nunam. And if the Sanskrit verse is quoted, Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma. Well, they don't have it here. So it goes Nunam Pramatta, what's the Evam Prasam Yukta Avidyamana? Priyukte avidyamatma upadiyamane bhakti mai pritirna van mai vasudeve namuchante yukta dehena yadvat. So that as long as one is not devoid of these upadis, upadi means our material identifications. Evam prasam, prasam yukta avidyamana, no, evam prasam yukta prigyamanas. Oh, evam manah karma visham prayukte avidyatman upadiyamane. So as long as one is engaged in fruitive activities for material sense gratification, so that long he'll have these, all these upadis that is identifying themselves with this gross and subtle body. And as long as that, as long as one is absorbed in these material conceptions of life, there is no question of developing love for Vasudeva. And as long as one doesn't develop love for Vasudeva, one will have to take one body after another. So these upadis are what we're trying to get rid of. We're trying to get initiation. Means we're coming to the platform of at least identifying ourselves as the servant of the servant of Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Naham Vipra Nachinara Patira Naham Nasi Nasudra. Vipra Nasudra Naham Yatapatira. I am not Brahman, I am not Kshatriya, I am not even Vaishya or Shudra, I am not even Sannyasi or Vanaprastha or Grihastha or Brahmachari. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was a sannyasi, he said, actually, this is not my actual identity. My actual identity is Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That is our actual identity. Every other identity is upagiyamanas. Upadiyamanas is upadis. It's simply a false identification. Now we may accept some identification in order to spread Krishna consciousness, but at the same time one should not identify oneself with that particular varna or ashram. Otherwise that's called illusion. And when an illusion is not going to be very effective distributing Krishna consciousness to others. Therefore sometimes sannyasis, they may accept the outward appearance of being a sannyasi, but if it's not conducive for their personal self-realization, or it's not even favorable for preaching, or if they're not preaching, then they may reject all these outward coverings. Like Sarup Damodar Maharaj in Chaitanya Leela, after hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, it said that he became mad, transcendentally mad. And he immediately went to take sannyas. But after taking sannyas, he didn't take the outward appearance of a sannyasi. He didn't shave his sikha. He didn't give up his sacred thread. He didn't put on the robes of a sannyasi. But he took initiation, although retaining his brahmachari name, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also retained his brahmachari name. Chaitanya is a brahmachari name, a servant of a sannyasi. Therefore, the acceptance of the external dress is not actually what a sannyasi is. A sannyasi is that one who takes paramatma nishtha, one who takes shelter of paramatma within his heart, nashitya karma phalam, karya karma karotiya, the sannyasi cha yogi cha niniragnirna chakriya. Although one is unattached to the results of his work, but works according to his obligation, is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Therefore, everyone in the Hare Krishna movement who is supposed to be working on the spiritual platform is supposed to be on the qualities, develop at least the qualities of a sannyasi. Sannyasi means that they've accepted that everything in the material world belongs to Krishna. And therefore everything is meant for Krishna's service under the guidance of Krishna's representatives, meant to please Krishna. So that's actually real renunciation, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. That that renunciation of things in this material world, which were meant for Krishna consciousness, is not actually real renunciation. Real renunciation is when one utilizes everything in the service of Krishna. How does that start? Pripan. Anukulyasya Krishna Anu, that's not right. Anyabhilasita Sunyam, that's not it either. What's that? Anasaktasya Vishayan. Itarham upayunjitaha nirbanda Krishna sambande yukta vairagi uchite. That the utilizing things in Krishna's service is actually renunciation. Anasaktasya vishayan itarha upayunjitaha nirbanda Krishna sambande yukta vairagi uchite. So properly utilizing things in Krishna's service is actually real renunciation. Prapattas katya buddha hari sambandhi vasina prityajo vairagya palgam uchite. On the other hand, renunciation of things that are actually meant for Krishna service is not real renunciation. It's palgu vairagya. In India, there's a river called Palgu. Palgu means that it's right underneath the surface. If you put your finger into the ground, you'll feel the river, but you don't see it. So it's called Palgu. It's an actual river, but it appears that it's not a river. Similarly, it's a false river, we could say. So, similarly, the renunciation of things that are actually meant for Krishna's service is false renunciation, like the Mayavadis. They deny Krishna's existence, so they deny utilizing things in Krishna's service. So they're actually performing karmic activities because they're denying Krishna's existence, and even by breathing, they're breathing in so many microbes and killing them, and therefore they're responsible. And when they walk on the street, they're killing so many ants, and because they're not engaged in Krishna's service, they're engaged in their material mental speculation, and therefore they're getting karmic reactions. Although they're claiming that by they're renounced, but actually they're not renounced. Therefore, actually real initiation means to become initiated by giving up the false ego, the false conception of life, and engaging in Krishna's service. In any position, Jad Bharat was a great devotee, highly qualified personality, and yet he refused to act like a Brahmin because he thought, if I act like a Brahmin, if I get taught by my father, that I'll get entangled in this external activities. He was already on the transcendental platform, so he felt no need to act like a Brahmin. Therefore, Krishna protected him because he was a great devotee. Even when some dacoits believed that he was simply a mad person and wanted to sacrifice him before the goddess Kali, he tolerated simply because of absorption in Krishna consciousness. But Durga Devi and her associates couldn't tolerate, and they came out of the deity and slaughtered the dacoits who had captured him and wanted to sacrifice him. So that's a sign of a great devotee, not one who advertises themselves as a great devotee externally, but internally, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that sometimes people are externally representing themselves as being renounced. This is the famous verse in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Karmendriyani samyamya yukta sitamatra pashehi yasyendriyani tasya praga patishita. One who restrains his senses and organs of action, but his mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself, is called a pretender. So just by acting renounced externally doesn't mean that one is actually renounced. And if one is not taking shelter of Krishna in Krishna consciousness, no matter what externally they may appear to be, but they're going to be hovering on the mental platform. It's yasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savaragunastatra samasate sura hara bhaktasi gato mahagunan manorite nasati davato vahi. That one who's acting as if he has very good qualities, for instance, acting externally as if he was renounced, but his mind is actually in material energy, has material desires. Or Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, he's dressed as a Vaishnava. He has tilak, kunti mala, but inside himself he's thinking of stealing someone else's wife. He's known as a Kali Chela. And Prabhupada even mentioned there are Kali Chelas, even in the Hare Krishna movement. Pretenders. So we should not be pretenders. We should actually try to serve Krishna in any position we have, and not think that the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is to change one ashram to the next without developing our Krishna consciousness. Every ashram, whatever it's in, is simply an opportunity to further develop our service to Krishna. And if it's used in that service, then the ashram becomes perfect. But of course, that's not an excuse that if we're in a certain ashram, that we should think, well, now ashram doesn't mean anything, so now I can go to any ashram I want. That's not a very good. Stane sita shuti kitam danu vangmanobir. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice is that we should stay in the ashram we're in. There's no need to change. But at the same time, we should fix our minds upon Krishna by hearing from the Shruti, from the scriptures, and then with our body, mind, and words engage in Krishna's service. Then Krishna will give us his mercy. That's what we're looking for, is Krishna's mercy. No matter how determined we are, no matter how much we try to fix our mind on Krishna, and how much we try to develop the proper attitude, ultimately it's up to Krishna to give us his mercy. Otherwise it's not possible to make spiritual advancement. So sincerity is the basic principle. In any ashram, one should try to be sincere and make spiritual advancement. Whether or not in that ashram one is, of course, we've adopted in the Hare Krishna movement some part of the at least the ashrams. And therefore a brahmachari should try to act like a brahmachari according to the standard that's in there in our Hare Krishna movement. Obviously we're not going to put on bark clothes, so we can't say that the brahmacharis in our movement have also renounced the external trappings of a brahmachari. They don't have matted hair. They don't wear bark clothes. They're not necessarily living in the ashram of their guru. They eat even when the guru doesn't tell them to eat. They don't get official confirmation that they should take breakfast today, and yet they're still at breakfast. So we may not follow strictly all the principles that are outlined in Srimad Bhagavatam for being a brahmachari or a grihastha. I don't know how many of our grihasthas go out every day before they take prasadam and shout out three times in a loud voice, "If anyone is hungry, let them come and eat. If anyone is hungry, let them come and eat. If anyone is hungry, let them come and eat." That is supposed to be the standard for a householder. You do that?
Yes.
You do that? Every day you do that?
No.
And what to speak of vanaprasthas? How many of our retired devotees are living in the forest, eating the berries that fall from the tree, or the dry leaves? No, we can't follow all the principles, but there are some principles that one should follow. Otherwise, then there's no, we can't differentiate between one ashram and the next, then it's meaningless. Therefore, for instance, the standard for sannyasi is that they don't intimately mix with ladies. They don't spend time alone with ladies or engage in intimate talks with ladies. So this is part of the qualification. And Prabhupada gave other instructions too. Like if they said, if you're preaching in a householder's house, then even if they're living in a very opulent house, you shouldn't think, well, I could have been a householder like this. I could have had such a nice house and a nice wife. In other words, lamenting, oh, but now I'm a sannyasi. So we're not supposed to do those. There's a mentality and there's external activities. But there's no strict adherence. All the principles outlined in the Shruti and the Smriti, how a sannyasi is supposed to act in the different ages, especially in the previous ages, when, as it says in the Bhagavatam here, if you're walking around with little clothes or naked, people think wouldn't call the police on you and have you arrested at a certain point of Vedic culture. But we're not living in Vedic culture. We're living in another kind of culture, or lack of culture. Therefore, one has to adopt one's means appropriately and understand that sannyas is specifically meant for helping the preaching, not as an independent method of spiritual advancement. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? What did you understand, Ananda, from the class?
The externals are not so important.
You have.
Hare Krishna. The importance of internal attitude is important, not externals, form of like clothes and that. And we should not be pretenders. The foundational principle of ashram is sincerity. And until we develop the love for Vasudeva, we are covered by upadis, and we have to purify them. Initiation is one step, and further spiritual advancement will help us to uncover these upadis.
You know, we have to identify ourselves as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Then if we become Krishna conscious, then our upadis, Krishna will take the upadis away. Desham eva nukamparta mahama jnana jamtamaha nashamyam yatma bhavishto jnana dipena bhashvata. Out of compassion for them, I dwell in their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge of the darkness born of ignorance. So we have to invoke Krishna's compassion by being enthusiastic and steady in our service. And then when Krishna sees that we're enthusiastic and steady, he gives us intelligence to make advancement. And when he sees we use that intelligence, then he becomes compassionate and he reveals himself to us. What did you understand, Lalita Govindapuru?
Actually, I have a question.
Okay.
We are speaking of servant of Krishna. when you are in some occasion, we are practicing alone Krishna consciousness. So we can identify it with, I am servant of Krishna, I will do this for Krishna. What this means in association, like here in the temple, between devotees, what this means, servant of servant of servant? What kind of attitude toward others? Not directly, maybe I want to please Krishna, but maybe I don't know, please the devotees.
Yeah, so anyhow, Krishna says it's not possible to please him. Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasadam, yasya prasadam nagati kutopi. It's not possible to please Krishna without serving his devotees. Therefore, our first business is to take shelter of someone who actually is in disciple succession and become his eternal servant. Eternal servant doesn't mean, but after I threw the grains in the fire, then the service, my contract with the spiritual master ended. We're supposed to become eternally servants, not just when the fire sacrifice, during the fire sacrifice. When my spiritual initiating guru comes, then I suddenly become his servant. And otherwise, then I'm servant of my imagination and my senses. Now one has to become, if one is the eternal servant and is a bona fide spiritual master, then he teaches us how to serve every devotee appropriately. For those who are on the same level or on a higher level than we are, they become our guru and we serve them as guru. We take at least their example and instructions that are higher than ours. They may not be our guru in every respect, just like even our initiating gurus, not our guru in every respect. We want to make some investment in the stock market. We don't call up our guru. We may have another teacher who knows more about the stock market than our guru does. Initiating guru. Similarly, so our guru is meant for, initiating guru is meant for a specific spiritual advancement. And similarly, others who are more elevated, more consistent in their following the principles of devotional service and more enthusiastic, more affectionate to the devotees and more appreciative, etc., then they become our guru. We follow their example and instructions. And for those on the same level, we try to cooperate with them to make spiritual advancement together and to distribute Krishna consciousness to the innocent. And to those who are on a lower level, we try to elevate them by proper behavior and instructions. So that's what it means to be a servant. We're serving our acharya's instructions through the super succession and learning how to discriminate by the mercy of the super soul in those instructions, how to appropriately serve every devotee and ultimately all living entities. Serve the innocent, even serve the, properly deal with the atheists. And if we forget the spiritual master's instructions and get carried away by the modes of material nature, then we lose our standing in devotional service, at least temporarily.
So in our level, we need, instructions and how to say, because our guru is not all the time with us when he is, or we are not with him physically, but in day by day practice we are tested in practice how to deal.
Yeah, but our guru, our initiated guru, is not our only guru. So this idea that my initiating guru is not here, if he's here by his instructions, that his instructions are none different from Rupa Goswami's, then they would be none different from anyone else who's repeating Rupa Goswami's instructions in disciple succession. So he is here. He's here in his instructions. Krishna's here in his instructions. So this excuse, he's not here because we don't understand the process of devotional service, and we only accept Vapu, and we don't understand that he's here present by Vani, as well as Krishna's other representatives are here by Vani. The spiritual master is representative of Krishna. He's not Krishna. And there are others who represent Krishna too, and they're present. Now, if there's seemingly contradiction between different instructors, then it has to be resolved. But ultimately, there is no contradiction, because they're all saying the same thing, how to serve Krishna. Besides that, in our movement, our initiating guru is not our ultimate authority, because he's under authority too. He's supposed to be under the authority of even the temple president or the GBC. He has no independent authority within ISKCON other than his authority with the disciples, teaching them how to ultimately make spiritual advancement and how to cooperate with the leaders in ISKCON. Otherwise, no one has given him any independent authority within ISKCON, or hardly, I mean.
Yes.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.